Hello, and welcome to Sit Back and Listen. I love reading books to kids, so that's mainly what we'll be doing here, but that may change over time. If you happen to have the book we are reading today, feel free to go grab it and read along.
Ready, Freddie? Mm-hmm. This is The Youngest Marcher by Cynthia Levinson and illustrated by Vanessa Brantley Newton. The story of Audrey Faye Hendricks, a young civil rights activist. What does the author do?
Makes the words.
What do they do with the words?
Write them.
Yes, they create the story. So they write the words. Yes, they create the story. What does the illustrator do?
Pictures.
They draw the pictures or create the pictures. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Whenever Mike flew into town, Audrey and her mama cooked barbecued ribs, stewed greens, sweet potato souffle, and Audrey's favorite, hot rolls baptized in butter. Other folks knew Mike as Martin or Dr. King. The Hendrixes used his nickname. They did the same with other ministers, too, like Fred Shuttlesworth and Jim Bevel. After Mike blessed the feast, Mama expected Audrey to keep still during supper. But when grown-ups talked about wiping out the segregation laws that kept black and white people apart in Birmingham, she just had to speak up. Audrey intended to go places and do things like anybody else. I want to eat my ice cream inside Newberry's. I want to sit downstairs at the Alabama. I don't want hand-me-down school books. But stools at the counter, plush movie theater seats, books so fresh they'd crack when you open them, those were for white children. Hush, hissed Mom. 9-year-old children should not speak in front of company. Especially ministers like Mike, Fred, and Jim, who were bringing dreams of justice. Audrey knew all about segregation. She knew to pay the driver at the front of the bus, then step off and walk around to the back door, drink from the fountain with the dirty bowl and warm water, use the freight elevator at department stores downtown, front row seats, cool water elevators with white glove operators. Law said those were for white folks. Every Monday night, Audrey and her mama and daddy and her aunts, uncles, and cousins joined neighbors and friends at Fred's church worship, fellowship, and testimony. She sang and swayed along with the movement choir. Her voice spirited and spiritual. Black and white together, we shall overcome. For once, she didn't have to keep still. Then came testimonies. White store owners won't hire me. Ku Kluxers chased me. Policemen called me names. The hateful stories made Audrey squirm. She tried to tell her mama, that's not right. Shh. How could mama expect her to hush? She had to make things right. But what could she do? When Mike visited Fred's church, thousands of people crowded around her to hear him preach. In a voice as taut as steel cables, as smooth as glass, he intoned, segregation is morally wrong and sinful. That's true. Fired up, Audrey's sat taller. An unjust law is no law at all, he proclaimed. Audrey had listened to Mike explain his plan at her supper table and knew what he meant. If a law is unjust, disobey it. Sit down inside Newberry's. Picket those white stores. March to protest those unfair laws. Why? Even marching was against the law. Then get arrested. Fill the jails, Mike exclaimed. Fill Birmingham's jails so full that policemen can't squeeze in one more person. Pack cells so tight that police will have to quit arresting people for demanding their rights. Audrey just knew Mike's plan would work. She twisted in her pew to see which grown-up would walk down the aisle. Volunteer for jail. But they mostly stayed put, eyes staring at her feet, hand on her knees. on their knees. Feet, hands, and knees didn't move. "Feel the jails," Mike pleaded, meeting after meeting, but heads shook all around her. Audrey heard, "No. Best not break those segregation laws. Boss man will fire me. Landlord will evict me. Policeman will beat me." If nobody protested, Mike's plan would fail. Police could keep arresting anyone, anytime, for anything, forever. Audrey would never be able to go places, do things like everybody else. One night, Jim announced a new idea. If grown-ups won't do it, fill the jails with children. Audrey leaped to her feet. "I want to go to jail," she declared. Mama looked deep and saw that Audrey's eyes begged, "Please." "Okay," Mama said. Audrey strutted down the aisle. She was going to jail. 2 mornings later, she put on a fresh pressed pinafore and shiny Mary Janes with turned down socks. Protesters got to look nice. In the meantime, her daddy bought her a game to help her pass the time in jail. Her mama and daddy took her by Center Street Elementary to tell her teachers she'd be absent, maybe for a whole week. Miss Wills wrapped her arms around her. Audrey knew she was proud of her. She said goodbye to her grandparents. "You'll be fine," her grandmother said. She knew Audrey would be brave. So did Audrey. Then her mama and daddy drove her to 16th Street Baptist Church, where the children were gathering. Even before she reached the door, Audrey heard loud voices chanting freedom songs. Half a block from the church, a white policeman stopped Audrey. He pointed towards a police van. "Sentence, 1 week in juvenile hall." A matron locked Audrey into a day room with 2 dozen other girls, all older, all bigger, all strangers. Audrey sat down alone and slipped the cover off her game. "I told you to sit down," the matron yelled. Audrey jumped. She didn't remember standing up. The matron dragged her to a dark, empty room. "When I tell you to do something, you do it," she commanded, "or I'll leave you here." Trembling, Audrey quietly followed the matron back to the day room, put away her game, laid down her head, and cried. Jail was harder than she'd thought, and she wasn't fined after all. By evening, Audrey was hungry and tired. For dinner, soupy, oily, tasteless grits. At night, a bare mattress with one thin sheet for a cover. Audrey and her cellmates were led outdoors into an empty concrete pen surrounded by high prison walls. The older girls talked together. Audrey wondered what her classmates were doing. Miss Wills would be keeping them busy. On another day, Audrey was sent to a huge room and told to sit in a chair that was so high her feet dangled above the floor. 4 white men glared at her. She'd never talked to a white man before. "Are you against America?" one demanded to know. "No, sir," she answered politely. "What do you talk about at those meetings?" another asked. "Our freedom." "Why did you march?" "To go places and do things like anybody else. What was wrong with that?" Every mealtime, Audrey stared at greasy grits. She could barely spoon them into her mouth, let alone swallow them. Every night, the cot's wire springs jabbed. Every morning, she had nothing to do but sit alone with her game. In the afternoons, though, more kids crowded into the day room. Some days, many of them arrived sopping wet. A girl explained that firemen aimed powerful hoses at the children. Surging water spun them off their feet and down the street. They got up and kept marching anyway, until they too were sent to jail. By Audrey's 5th day in detention, the police couldn't squeeze in one more person. "We filled up all the rooms. We filled up all the rooms." Audrey practically jumped up and down. She was so proud. "We filled up all the rooms." Watching television in the day room, she saw black people stroll straight into stores and restaurants like they belonged there. No one else could be sent to jail. Everything had changed. After 7 days, Audrey went home. Her mom and daddy wrapped their arms tight around her, washed the gel off her, and for dinner, hot rolls baptized in butter. 2 months later, the city of Birmingham wiped segregation laws clean off the books. Audrey licked her spoon clean at Newberry's counter like everybody else. Black and white together, like we belong. Author's note. Every day Audrey Faye Hendricks spent in jail, her mother Lola called someone she knew there to make sure her daughter was safe. The day after her release, Audrey returned to Miss Wheels' class. She didn't tell her classmates about marching her jail, though. "It didn't dawn on me that it was a big deal," she said. But it was. Audrey was one of more than 3,000 children who were arrested in Birmingham, Alabama in May 1963. The Children's March, which was planned by Reverend James Bevel, Reverend Fred Shuttlesworth, and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., affected not only Birmingham, but America. That summer, young people held protests in nearly 200 cities. President John F. Kennedy spoke on television about prejudice and sent a civil rights bill to Congress. On August 28th, about 250,000 people marched in Washington, D.C. to hear Dr. King preach about his dreams of freedom. I had the honor of talking with Audrey in her home, where she grew up. She showed me the table at which Dr. King blessed their meals and the upright piano where she practiced singing civil rights songs, including "Ain't Gonna Let Nobody Turn Me Round." Audrey told me that she remained an activist afterwards. She volunteered to integrate a high school, enrolling as one of the first black students. "It took a while for whites and blacks to work together," she said, "but it was what we fought for." After graduating from college and working in Dallas, Texas, Audrey returned to Birmingham, where she taught preschool and led Head Start programs. Years later, she earned a graduate degree researching women like her mother and herself who were involved in the civil rights movement. Schools around the country invited her to speak about her experience as the youngest known marcher. Nicknamed the Civil Rights Queen, Audrey Faye Hendricks died in 2009. What a difference the Children's March has made in this nation. Audrey Faye Hendricks, January 12th, 2008.
How did she die?
We don't know. They didn't tell us that.
How did she die?
We don't know. They didn't tell us.
Wait,
she just grew old. She lived her life and grew old. And had a long life. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
See you next time.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.